Welcome to TFP, the Theatre Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theatre Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Today, we have an interview with another theater folk author and composer, Kristen Grotier, who wrote the music for both Shout and Anna Groundhog in a Pear Tree. But first, let's do some theater folk news. There's a new freebie in town for theater folk. It's kind of hidden. It's not out there yet with sparkly lights and choreographed numbers, but it is out there. And it's free. And it's for you! It's another great resource for teachers, and it's called Theater Folk Theater Trivia. What's that you say? Well, the foundation is an online database of over 1,000 theater trivia questions and answers in 14 categories. Yes, I'm going to say it again. Over 1,000 theater trivia questions and answers. Everything from Greek theater to commedia to modern to play quotes to playwrights to true and false questions. And we're going to be rolling out a variety of ways that you can use this online database. Right now, you can go to Twitter and follow @TheaterTrivia. That's @TheaterTrivia. And when you do that, you get a random theater trivia question in the morning with the answer for that question showing up in the afternoon. New question every day. And then you can also go to trivia.theaterfolk.com. Look for this in the show notes. And there you can print your own Q&A sheet with a random set of theater trivia questions, perfect for a class activity. And with each answer, there's a link to further source material, perfect for follow-up discussion. I know, it's awesome. Now, as I said, this is a rolling project. That means we're going to be rolling out more ways to use this database. So keep trivia.theaterfolk.com in your bookmarks. There's more to come. And please always remember, and don't ever forget, the places in which you can find this podcast. We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and our Facebook page and Twitter. And you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. Search for us on Theater Folk. This is very theater-y. I am backstage, or more precisely, in the basement of the Showboat Festival Theater with Kristen Gauthier. Hello, Kristen.
Hello.
And Kristen has very kindly agreed to talk before she goes on this afternoon in today's performance of Last of the Red Hot Lovers by Neil Simon, which she happens to be performing with well-known theater folkian Craig Mason. So, we know you for your composing that you've done for us Anna Groundhog in a Pear Tree and Shout, but we're going to talk today about your not your composing hat, but your acting hat.
Okay.
Sound good?
Good.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
So, well, the first thing I want to talk about is, like, we're in pre-show, so do you have any pre-show rituals? Is there anything that you do before a show?
I don't think anything really specific or really important. I'd like to be at the theater an hour beforehand. I like to have that time to sort of leave the world behind and sort of get into the world of the theater and be with the people that I'm going to be performing with. And I don't really use that first half hour for too much. If it's not a musical, I would use that to warm up my voice if I was singing. But I like that time to sort of relax. And then I stretch a little bit when it gets a little closer to time to go on stage so I can feel all my muscles. So it's not a big deal, just a little stretch to know that they're all there and I can feel my whole body. And that's really it. I use the time to put my costume and my makeup on is just time to think about what I'm about to do. And
it's nice to be
simple.
It's nice to be in the theater, though, isn't it?
It really is, to have that little bit of space, you know, from to separate sort of my life and my worries and all the things that I'm thinking about and just be able to focus on what I'm about to do.
Because for the equity rules, you don't have to be here until half hour before.
Right.
Have you ever been here just a half hour before?
I have.
Have you?
I have, sometimes on a two-show day.
Right.
If you don't quite have enough for time for supper, you can push it back to half hour. So I can do it. I don't think I would do that if it was a musical. Again, I really like to have time to sort my voice out and make sure that it's functioning the way I want it
right,
to.
Right, right.
But I have done it. I can do it, but I prefer to have the extra time.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous? Because you've been acting for a long time now.
Long time. And it's funny. I wouldn't say that I ever got nervous through most of my career so far. I get excited.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, I would always get very, very excited before I went on. This time, after I took a break for 5 years to
because,
have my kids.
Yes, you have two lovely children.
Yeah. And I found that getting on stage for the first time in front of an audience, the first two times, I was terrified.
Yeah?
Absolutely terrified. And I hadn't felt that way before. And once I got to the third show, I kind of slipped back into my old sort of relaxed, excited frame of mind. But yeah, I can really sympathize with people who get
stage fright
now after having experienced that. It's not a very good feeling at all.
What did you think was going to happen?
Oh, I thought I was going to forget all my words. I thought I would make some terrible mistakes and embarrass myself and have to go live in a hole for the rest of my life. Luckily, that didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
Okay.
Because I'm the opposite. I'm the beforehand is the most, I give speeches all the time. I'm in front of people all the time. And I can control it more, but I'm still just a nervous. I'm a wreck. And then as soon as I start speaking, it's fine. It's always fine.
It all flows out. And it's okay. And that's the thing, right? Like what I sort of realized to get over this nervousness these two times is I'd really had to just trust myself. And I actually used those words to myself in my head, you know, okay, trust yourself. You know this. You know how to do this.
You rehearsed.
It's going to be fine. Just trust yourself. Forget about it. Don't try to think through everything ahead of time.
Yeah.
Trust that it will happen when you get there. And of course it does.
Well, and that's
because you have rehearsed.
And we have rehearsed. Well, and that's training, right? That's training and having a background in acting that you can rely on that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, it's not your first time at the rodeo, right?
Right,
you know,
right, right.
You've been through it before.
Yeah.
So this is a very unique project because Last of the Red Hot Lovers, as you know, has one guy who is meeting three different women. Mm-hmm. And originally it was done with three different women, but you get to play all of those characters. Mm-hmm. So you are playing three different women. So for summer theater, it is a cost-saving measure.
Absolutely.
But for you, it's got to be interesting.
Oh, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
To be able to play three such different people within the space of one play.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. It's so exciting. I love it.
How did you approach it?
I really felt when we first started doing this play, even 10 years ago when we did it.
That's right. So for those of you who don't know, it is a very small world and things coming around. Kristen and Craig did this play 10 years ago together and they're back better than ever together again. So,
but to really give each woman their own distinct voice, mm-hmm. because I knew it was going to be just me every time, and I thought it was important for the audience and me too to have the experience of as three as distinct women as possible. So I tried to give them each their own voice, and I don't mean that necessarily by the sound of their voice, although that sort of happened.
It just
during the process.
They lend themselves.
Yeah,
their personalities.
So I would read each act by itself and really try to hear and feel how this woman would sound, and just through the sound of the writing and the rhythms of the writing, what was it telling me that it would sound like, and they really emerged as their own distinct voices, and then by the time we get up on its feet, they end up with their own physicality, and then of course with the way that you're playing with Craig, and it all just the balls bounce back and forth, and they just really seem to flesh themselves out, and I feel really, really fortunate to be able to do so much. Like if I was just playing one of them, I would be jealous of the other two cats. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, that looks like fun. I want to do that.
Well, it's like a role. It's basically your own roller coaster,
right?
You know,
right, right.
With different wigs.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's very, it's fascinating how much you can find though, in terms of that rhythm and voice, like in the script, right?
Oh,
I'm telling, it's amazing when I work with student actors, how they're so focused on the I have lines to learn and I have places to move. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, if you actually look, there are rhythms built into speech that's going to give you so much character clues.
Absolutely. That's really where I feel that the quote voice, the manners of these characters came from. I really feel like they came right from the text for me.
Yeah.
That's how it sounded. That's how it felt as I was reading them. So that's where I look for it for sure.
How much time do you spend with the text?
You mean before rehearsal?
Do you?
No, because mostly I don't get the script before rehearsal.
Yeah.
So no, I don't. But I do spend a time, in especially that first week of rehearsal, reading it at night.
Mm-hmm.
and listening, reading it out loud, you know, in a quiet room and feeling it out that way. So I think I spend quite a bit of time with it, maybe an hour at night, mm-hmm. as well as the whole rehearsal day.
Right. Do you think voice is more important for these characters or physicality?
I think they're
inseparable. Or are they tandem?
They're really inseparable to me. I mean, I know that in this particular case, like, I do use my voice to distinguish them. They do actually have different sounds,
mm-hmm.
but those sounds sort of came hand in hand with that physicality. And the physicality and the sound is necessarily, I think, a little bit bigger than it would normally be because mm-hmm. I'm trying to distinguish between them. I think that if I was just playing one, the picture wouldn't be quite as large. The brush wouldn't quite be as large, but because it's one woman, it's just a little bigger to help
distinguish
the illusion mm-hmm. that
it's three.
That it's three.
So what's it like working with Craig?
One of the reasons I actually auditioned to do this play the second time was because Craig was I think Craig is one of the kindest, most open and talented actors that I have worked with.
He's a pretty swell guy.
He's a pretty great guy.
And it must be how wonderful for you guys who have, you've already done the play 10 years ago, but did you feel that your rehearsal process was sort of expedited because you weren't working with a stranger to get relaxed and you could sort of leap into the deep end of the pool?
That was really a nice bonus of being able to come in and immediately have that relationship established. It was already someone I was comfortable with. I enjoyed working with him, that I trusted.
Yeah.
That which is a big deal too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. And even the familiarity with the text helped. We were able to get moving on it much more quickly.
Yeah.
And maybe it was long enough that the patterns fell away. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or it's hard to say whether we sort of fell into patterns that we had used before or found new ones. I think a combination of both, probably.
Yeah. In good ways.
Yeah, hopefully in good ways.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So another experience, acting experience that you've had, which I know that the people listening will be really interested to hear, is that you spent some time touring with Les Mis.
Mm.
So what did you play?
I was in the ensemble of Les Mis. Mm-hmm. So I was, I think, whore number
seven.
Five. And I was the nun. I was the, I think, the head-ish nun. I got to bring Valjean on. I had a lot of different little parts. And I also understudied Cosette.
Ah.
So I went on quite a few times.
Really?
Playing Cosette. Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, that was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I remember it was a pretty big moment. I think it was my first professional job, and it was early on in the run, and I got to go on as Cosette. And I remember getting out and singing that first song of hers and rotating off into the background while Marius and Eponine are singing their duet. And I was able to look out at this massive audience and sit. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, when these people remember Les Mis and when they think about this story and this musical ever after from this, they're going to remember what I give them
mm-hmm.
in this part. And what an amazing privilege and responsibility that was. Mm-hmm. And it was really a big moment for me. It was quite moving.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I've got goosebumps. It's a big deal.
What was it like being dropped into Les Mis as your first gig out of university?
What
was that like?
I just graduated from university, and I can't... I was so lucky. I mean...
Was it just a place of good timing and
it was it was good timing for sure. It was I'm sure it was a bunch of happy accidents that led me there. I
with
hadn't
skill,
been in Toronto.
Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they wouldn't have given me the job if I couldn't sing, for instance. But
oh, come on, you can get it in. Yeah, that's all right.
I forget, what were we talking about?
Well, I was going to segue that into, do you remember what your audition was like?
I do. I had two auditions. I remember getting a last-minute call to go in and audition in Toronto. I was living in Ottawa at the time. And I heard later that they had not been happy with the people they were seeing for whatever reason and had gone to the reject pile. And I happened to be on top of the rejected pile. And they said, this girl can sing. She has music. Call her in. So I got a call to go in the next day. So we had to drive to Toronto the next day through a snowstorm, which we did. And I went and I sang and I can't believe what a great reception I had from the audition panel. I think my feet didn't touch the stairs on the way out of the building. Went home and a week later got a call to go back and sing again for the director.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. And again, that went better than I ever could have imagined. He gave me his card and told me not to take another job unless I called them first. So, I mean, it's an unbelievable audition story. That never happens.
Yeah.
Like, you always leave and you think that they hated you.
They're never going
to
call.
Yeah, you never have that. So for that to happen as my first experience, I think was incredibly lucky. And I got the call to do the job. And, wow.
How long did you tour?
We toured, I think in total it was about 8 months.
And where did you go?
We went across Canada to most of the capital cities of the province, and we went to Hawaii, and we ended in Toronto. We did a couple months in Toronto at the end of the tour.
Cool. So what was your best experience of touring, your best memory of touring?
Of touring? I really loved... Okay, so sometimes the house didn't sell, and we would be given tickets to give away, and my favorite part of touring, I think, was being able to walk into the bank and say to the tellers,
"Oh wow,
did you want to see Les Mis?" And they would say, "Oh, I'm not sure." I said, "Because if you would, I have tickets and I'd be happy to give them to you." Really, just give them, and they would be so happy. Or to be able to give them to someone who you heard talking about it on the street, and just be able to give them tickets for it, because it was really expensive even at that time. But the feeling and the being able to do that for people and seeing how happy they were. That's my favorite part. That was my favorite.
The lamest fairy. Holy cow. That is
well,
awesome.
Everybody got to do it.
Yeah, I know.
From
but,
time to time. But
that's awesome. Okay, so and then what's the worst?
Touring, living in other people's houses.
Did you
bill
it?
Not having your own space. We mostly stayed in hotels.
Yeah.
We didn't always have a kitchen, so we had
right.
to. I had 3 meals a day in a restaurant for the most part.
Yeah.
So by the time I got home, anything that I used to resent about my mother's cooking was all of a sudden the best thing in the world. home cooking is now my favorite thing. That happened to me early on. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing, because that's something that, you know, you'll just take with you. Home cooked meals, always going to triumph.
And now having my own space, having my home and living in my home is a wonderful thing, because it's hard to not have all of your things with you all the time and not have that sense of place. And you lose that on a tour.
Well, I know that one of the greatest things about doing Showboat for Craig is that he gets to live at home.
Yeah.
It's a 20-minute drive.
It's amazing. Know? It's a wonderful thing.
It's the hardest thing. I it's so funny. When we travel for conferences or whatever, it's really never the conference or the thing that I'm at that's the problem. It's the traveling and the being on the road and if you're in a hotel and all that other stuff that, you know, on paper seems so wonderful.
Yeah.
It's not.
Hotels are great for a night.
Yes.
But not for 8 months.
8 months. So as an actor and as a composer, which do you like better?
I couldn't say.
Yeah?
I really couldn't say. I get such immense joy out of both.
Yeah.
I love the immediate feedback and the storytelling aspect of acting and performing. That and that connection and the energy that's created as
the
as
cyclical thing.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
you send
I,
it out, it comes right back.
There's really no feeling like that, and you can't compare it with anything else. And I love the intricacy and the creativity and of being able to write music and put it together. And then to hear other people perform it is just another level entirely.
Awesome.
You know, no, I couldn't separate. I couldn't choose. I love them all.
I like that. They're both your children.
Yep.
Just like your children. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It was awesome.
Good.